Me nach took the stroll one day with the master, just him and the Lord alone. He got so close to the portals of heaven that God just led him on home. He keeps leading me home, destined for the throne. No time to slow down, soon I'll be heaven bound. He keeps leading me home. I struggled over mountains, walked through some valleys. I thought I would never see dawn, but the one who said, I'll never forsake you, is the one that's leading me home. He keeps leading me home, destined for the throne. No time to slow down, soon I'll be heaven bound. He keeps leading me home. I struggled over mountains, walked through some valleys. I thought I would never see dawn, but the one who said, I'll never forsake you, is the one that's leading me home. He keeps leading me home, destined for the throne. No time to slow down, soon I'll be heaven bound. He keeps leading me home. He keeps leading me home. Destined for the throne. No time to slow down. Soon I'll be heaven bound. He keeps leading me home. We have to keep singing that song to remind us, because the devil doesn't want us to believe that we're in that rapture season. And it's the Lord is leading us, eh?
Mm-hmm.
He's doing it all. He's leading us home. We just have to surrender. That's why we keep reminding ourselves. Because the spirit of the world doesn't want you to believe that. Mm-hmm. It just wants you to cater along with everybody.
Exactly.
Allow yourself to be brainwashed.
Mm-hmm.
Intimidated and everything. But see, that's why we remind ourselves. When I'm tossed on the sea, and the waves cover me, and the dark clouds won't let the sunshine through, then a voice seems to say, shall there be a brighter day? Down the loudest storm to hide sweet heaven's view, 'cause you've got one more valley, one more hill, and you've got one more trial, one more tear, one more curve in life's road, one more line left to go. You can lay down your heavy load when you get home. Don't let Satan see your tears. Learn to smile away your fears. Hold your head up high and give the world a smile. Just be faithful all the way. Twill be worth it all someday. For it'll be over after a while. 'Cause you've got one more valley, one more hill. You've got one more trial, one more tear. One more curve in life's road, one more mile left to go. You can lay down your heavy load when you get home. Don't let Satan see your tears. Learn to smile away your fears.
Hold your head up high and give the world a smile.
Just be faithful all the way. Will be worth it all someday, for it all will be over after a while. 'Cause you got one more valley, one more hill, and you've got one more trial, one more tear, one more curve in life's road, one more mile left to go.
You can lay down your heavy load when you get home.
Cause you got one more valley, one more hill, and you've got one more trial, one more tear, one more curve in life's road, one more mile left to go. You can lay down your heavy load when you get home. Mighty mile path to the foot of the crow, I'll be caught in Laughlin's zing flood. If I steal my knees when Satan wants me, then he'll have to walk through the blood. But if I hold fast to the foot of the cross, I'll be caught in its life-cleansing flood. If I stay on my knees when Satan wants me, then he'll have to walk through the blood. But if I hold fast to the foot of the cross, I'll be caught in his life-cleansing blood. If I stay on my knees when Satan wants me, then he'll have to walk through the blood. Gonna pray my way out, never a fear, never a doubt. He will deliver me once again. Gonna pray my way out of whatever I'm in. Gonna pray my way out, never a fear, never a doubt. He will deliver me once again. Gonna pray my way out of whatever I'm in. Gonna pray my way out, never a fear, never a doubt. He will deliver me once again. Gonna pray my way out of whatever I'm in. Yeah, that's a good scripture. If you believe, you and your whole household will be saved. That's very simple. But there's a flip side to that one. There's another side to that one, and something that we don't like to talk about. Like back in the days of Moses, when he talked to the children of Israel, he told them about all the blessings that they got coming their way. But then he said there's a flip side to that too. There's also a curse. If you don't do that, then that curse will be on me, and we see in history over 2,000 years of curses on the Israel, on the Jews.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the same thing. We tell you about the blessings. If you will believe, you and your whole household will be saved. It's just set up that way.
Mm-hmm.
But then, when you take the flip side, if you don't believe, then you and your whole household will be damned. Just that simple. And you believe what? Believe that thing that's out there? No, you believe the message for your day. You read over and over again, back in the days of when Jesus was here, he said, this is eternal life, that you believe in him whom God had sent. And if you were living back in the days of Jesus, he was just somebody to mock, you know,
mm-hmm.
somebody to make fun of.
Mm-hmm.
He was really, in their eyes, the lowest of the low.
Mm-hmm.
But it was something God chose at that point in time. If you can believe on this guy from Galilee, then you have eternal life. Well, it was kind of a tough nut to crack for those people, because society had Jesus pegged as a loser, you know,
mm-hmm.
born out of wedlock and all that kind of stuff. And here he comes along, if you believe on me, you have eternal life. That's
mm-hmm.
kind of a you got to put yourself in their shoes back then. It was pretty tough to digest.
Yeah, nowadays people, they think it was all good.
Ugh.
But and they just think it, everybody believes in Jesus. But back then, when Jesus was here, it was not the case. Because when you will read in Acts 3, Moses said, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your brothers. You must obey him in everything he tells you. Every person who does not obey that prophet will be destroyed and thus removed from the people."
That was Jesus.
That was Jesus. Moses prophesied about the coming of Jesus, and and whoever will not believe will be destroyed. And we can see, like, when Peter went out and they proclaimed the name of Jesus, they were reined in and told not to speak about Jesus, and they wanted to intimidate them. But they said to them, "We have to obey God more than man," and they continued to speak the name of Jesus. So they were persecuted. It is said, "For it is impossible for us not to speak about what we have seen and heard." Yeah. That's the same way with us. It's impossible for us not to tell people what the Lord has let us see and hear.
Amen to that. It's the same thing today. We're just as the most looked down on, the most despised two people on planet Earth right now, especially the society that we come out of, us, and especially the people that know us, like this group we come out of. They wouldn't even give us the time of day, because that Neil Conley, that false teacher down there, he had everybody that these two people, they're put them in an inapplicable box. They don't even read, don't even listen to it. And now everybody believes that. That's how powerful these words are that he spread out on the internet, that these two people put them in an inapplicable box. What's an inapplicable box? Somebody that doesn't read.
Mm-hmm.
Now these people, you could talk till you're going to faith. You will not be able to convince them otherwise. Because there is a man that people look up to, and we're the people that they look down on. And now here we come along and claim, if you don't believe this message, you'll be damned. It's just that simple.
Mm-hmm. And what the devil does right out of the gate, just like he did there with Peter and the disciples, when you will read it in Acts 4, it says, "But to keep this matter from spreading any further among the people, let us warn them to speak no more to anyone in this name,"
yeah,
the name of Jesus. And that's what he wanted to do. He wanted to shut us down right away, to intimidate us and speak no more.
Mm-hmm.
And you can read it here in the same way what they did to the disciples. They wanted to make sure that the name of Jesus does not spread. And they tried everything they could. But you know, you cannot fool the Holy Spirit.
And today they got the same trick.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want us to rock the boat. They don't want us to rock the boat, so they completely ignore us, and we're not making any waves.
Mm-hmm.
See, if you draw attention, then the devil doesn't want you to draw attention, or he doesn't want to kind of rock the boat, because then it'll draw other people's attention. And like, people are curious, you know. I want to see what that guy's got. Let's see what he has. And they go, he's got a website. You can check him out on his website. But see, what the devil does, he doesn't want people to find that out. So we're irrelevant, you know. Just like the guys say, we're in a little box. And then they try to make us irrelevant, that people don't even bother asking what about them too. Well, they got their opinion already formed. Oh, they're just two people checking out. But see, it's the way the Lord has set it up. He set it up that Jesus, it appeared that Jesus was born, conceived out of wedlock. It's just set up that way to deceive the people that are not, their heart ain't right. It's the same thing. They're being led and deceived. And at the end of the day, God knows exactly who's going to see it and who's not going to see it. Because it has to come by a revelation. It can't come by observing and all that. But we're trying to say today, all this is good and well, that if you believe, you and your whole household will be safe, period. And if you don't believe, the message for your day, you and your whole household will be damned. It's just that simple. And I got the proof in the pudding. I'll just have to mention it. We don't send these books out, and we don't send CDs out, and we don't talk to people unless the Spirit of the Living God moves on us to talk to people. Like that, we're talking about that boss from Sommerfeld, that John. Everybody knows that Sommerfeld colony. Everybody knows that boss there. And I've known him forever and a day back then, and I run into him where the Lord set it up that I would run into him back in the day when that split came. I run into down there at that Nick's restaurant down in Headingley. And he came over and talked to me because he was going through. He was just right at the early stages when J.K. kind of tried to dictate to everybody what they should do and what they shouldn't do. And it affected them because, I was in on their same page as they were on. And he came over and he talked to me. And I said, I can't support that guy anymore. He's corrupt. And neither can I support the colleagues anymore. I was already kind of on the way out of there.
Mm-hmm.
And time and time again, he had a conversation. Like I said, the other day, I would go to the bank Monday morning, and he'd be there. And I would take it upon myself to talk to him, you know. And, wherever I could, I would tell him about what I believe and stuff like that. But he never seemed, he seemed to listen, but he didn't listen, you know what I'm saying? Because he knew deep in his heart, and I knew deep in my heart, that God is calling him to step up to the plate and no more supporting that system.
Mm-hmm.
To step out like we all have to do and put that Hutterite system in the rearview mirror and walk away with nothing. That's what God required of that John from Sommerfeld, that boss. But he couldn't give it up because I know him. I know in my spirit, and I know the way I'd run into him from time to time. And I know about the questions he would ask. And I know about the way he looked at me when he saw me. And there's somebody that I know I should be doing exactly what he's doing. I should walk away because he saw through that system.
Mm-hmm.
But he could not give up that wealth. He couldn't give up that position. He could not give up that power. And one of the last times I seen him, we were driving over for some cream or some plants or something. And I seen him there. He was driving an old farm all sea. And then he treated that thing like that was his idol, that was his God, because he could not give up that material thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then we sent, I felt for the guy. I sent him some books and some CDs, and because you want to help these people. And had kind of over a hump. He come up to a hump, and he can't get over it. So we sent him some books about testimony and different things. And he sent them back. I don't think he even opened it. He just scribbled out the name, like I told you before, and then he sent them back, and then, well, we didn't know for sure who it was, so we opened the books. Yeah, we sent these books to that boss, that John from Sommerfeld. Well, he rejected it.
Yeah.
It was exactly what it says. If he would have believed what we'd be trying to tell him for, oh, man, 30, 40 years I've been in contact with that man. If he would have just taken a little bit of time out to believe it, him and his whole household would have been saved. But he rejected it. The very thing that he needed to get him over that hurdle, over that hump, he rejected it, sent the books back like, we do not want your trash. Don't send it here anymore. Well, now he does not believe. He that does not believe will be damned. It's just that simple. And you and your whole household will go down in that same damnation as he's did. And he rejected it. And then I think about 2 months later, he had a stroke and died. And now it doesn't only affect him. It affects his family. It affects his siblings. It affects his whole household. Because two of his boys, they got a business down around Toulon there. And one day we're down that area, she says, let's go. I should go over there and visit them, just see what they, see what they're up to. Because I know them, and the Lord won't let us go there.
Mm-hmm.
Just, I don't want you to go there. And then I put two and two together. The reason he didn't want us to go, because there's a curse on that man and on his children, 3-4 generations down the line. This is serious stuff. People think they can mock us, they can do whatever. They can if they want to, but they're not going to get away with it. There's going to be that curse on them. And they bring a curse on themselves, not only on them, on their children. And then his grandson, he wanted to buy our car. The Lord wanted to let us sell him that car that we had here. You know, time and again, he called us and the Lord wouldn't let us sell it to him. And that's that curse that's on him. I will put vengeance on them that hate me. Literally, hate the truth. It doesn't that he got up in the morning and told everybody, I hate Jesus, I hate God, I hate the Holy Spirit, I hate anything that he resembles. No,
mm-hmm.
It's your attitude, you know. You just mm-hmm. don't want no truth.
Mm-hmm.
You want that materialism more than you want truth. Well, some of us have to give it up.
Mm-hmm.
I had to give up everything. Some don't. That's not everybody. It's required from everybody what God requires of you and I. We had to walk away with nothing. And that's what God required of that guy. If he would have done that, him and his whole household will be saved. We cannot get close to those Sommerfeld people. I did my second cousin. And that Mike, we couldn't get close to him. You were right on his out when he had that gout disease and all that. You were willing to help him, but we can't talk to these people. That Lorraine there, that one in that greenhouse, we can't talk to these people. Why? Because they are under his watch. Like we keep saying, there are certain people that are under their watch, and when we can't go near them, we try to testify to them, and it's like mm-hmm. throwing water down a well. And then there's another one. There's another guy here that I've known forever and a day, that Amos from Brightstown. Then he moved to, I think he moved down to another colony, down by Wabaniza there. He went to that colony down there, and then it didn't work out, though. I seen him up at Heartland when Heartland was building up. I worked with him up there. And then he was kicked from pillar to post. Trees Bank Colony, you know, that down there. Mm-hmm. He was there for a while. And then I think he was just putting into the end these coal stoves that they put in at that time. And he built them up, and then they moved them somewhere else. Anyway, we're down in Heartland doing the same thing. And then finally he ends up here in Northway. And I run into him from time to time. Like I say, I even work with him down mm-hmm. there. And then, well, I kind of like the guy. He's a workaholic. He's got it all together financially, like business-wise. I went out of my way every time I saw him and I went to talk to him. So here, some time back, I would run into him over in 3 times in 1 week. I seen him at Canadian Tire. I didn't go over and talk to him because they don't want to be seen talking to me. So I just kind of saved him that agony. But I did see him there 3 times in 1 week at Canadian Tire.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I figured, Lord, you're trying to get my attention. What I'm going to do, I'm going to send him some books and some CDs. I'm going to send that Jeremy's testimony. And so I did. I did send them. And after 2 weeks, I was over at Sobeys, and here, lo and behold, he pulls in. And so I went over and talked to him. And I was doing. And I said, did you get the books I sent you? Yeah. I said, what did you do? Throw them out? Some of them. I said, that's the worst thing you could have done. You should not have done that, because they're the truth. They're the truth for this day. Well, the way he looked at me and like who are you? Like mm-hmm. you're a runaway. You're not even worth looking at.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think you were there too. You were going in the store, and I don't know what he came over and talked to him too. But he seen us both coming out of the car. But anyway, because he rejected the very thing that he needed, I said, when I said to him, that's the worst thing he could have done, should have never done that. And anyway, mm-hmm. 2 weeks later, here I look on the Hutterite app, and here his wife passed away. Yeah, you see, if you do not believe, you will be damned. Mm-hmm. And now, before all that happened, I looked up his, how many, he had 44 grandchildren. All these are down in his and his family structure, all these people, God would have made Zach to it, that that whole family structure would have somehow would be saved, mm-hmm. just like Rahab. Her whole family got saved, just like back in the days of Lot. His whole family got pulled out of Sodom there, except for his wife, and she looked back and she blew it all. Mm-hmm. But see, had he believed, just give it a little bit, the Lord something to work with, him and his old household would have been saved. His 44 grandchildren. God would have made a way somehow. I don't know how he does it, but he would have made a way. Now, no matter what we do or say to any of his children, any of his downline, any of his family structure, it's a no. We're beating the air, you know. Mm-hmm. We're not getting anywhere.
Mm-hmm. And people, if they reject the truth, they're rejecting Jesus.
Exactly.
And you can see, like, when we were driving through there, like you were saying, he was on that old tractor. Mm-hmm. And that's really at a point in his life where the Lord Jesus was trying to deal with him. And they can never, that's why people get caught in an error. Mm-hmm. And because that's the era that Jesus was trying to deal with these people, and he couldn't, so they're stuck in that rut. And the same way with that bird tower, when you will look at him, that's what happens. There comes a time where they're confronted with the truth, and they're confronted to give something up, and they mm-hmm. can surrender, but they just can't surrender, and then that's where they are stuck.
He had an obsession with that Corvette car, you know. Mm-hmm. They go to convention, and Marie told me about that. Instead of going to convention, they went down to Bowling Green. So, they went to convention. But the highlight of his trip uh-huh. was to go to Bowling Green. There's a Corvette, car shop there, mm-hmm. where they got all the Corvettes from way back. And that's his highlight of his trip. And he had a Corvette, and that mm-hmm. was his idol, that was his God. He could not give up that Corvette, an old, mm-hmm. old beat-up Corvette. Mm-hmm. And all faded out. That was his idol. Yeah. He could not give up that idol, and eventually he just ended out in left field somewhere. Mm-hmm. Then it affects his children, his grandchildren, mm-hmm. like we were saying the other day, his granddaughter, she became a lesbian, and we can't talk to these people. We can't talk to Sean Towers. When we talk to them, they mock us, you know, mm-hmm. like somebody that's worth mocking at.
And that's why you can really see the contrast between if a person believes and surrenders what the Lord Jesus, he's confronted with the Lord, what the Lord Jesus Christ is confronting that person with, he surrenders, then he and his household will be saved. You will see that they are blessed. Mm-hmm. But if they don't, just like you said, that John from Somerville, and then that Bert Towers here, that you can see that that family line gets there's no blessing there.
Yeah.
And you will really see the contrast between if somebody says yes to the Lord and when somebody says no to the Lord. And you just cannot surrender. And you see everything comes to a standstill. Mm-hmm. That whole family tree, there's a standstill and there's no movement, spiritually speaking.
People that are under their watch. Mm-hmm. He had that whole colony under his watch. If he would have stuck up to the plate, that John from Somerville, that whole colony, that whole family structure would have stepped back and took a look at him, because he was a man of very high influence. People looked up to him. And for somebody like that to step up to the plate and say, this is the truth, I'm going to stand with this truth, and no matter what happens, I'm going to leave everything behind, stand with the truth for my day. And that's all God would have. Then that Mike, he would have stepped back and he would have looked at it. Mm-hmm. But see, he couldn't, because it was up to that John to step up to the plate. And now when we go talk to any of them, they look at you, they mock you, even before they see you. Mm-hmm. They feel that. And the same thing happened. I'm going down the line here. I'm mentioning names, and I'm letting people see what happens. If you believe, you and your whole household will be saved. If you don't believe, you will be damned. Mm-hmm. And the same thing happened with that, my cousin here, that preacher from Bloomfield, that Denny. And we used to have a great time discussing things. And then he became a preacher. And once you become a preacher, it's pretty hard to untangle yourself from that position. But anyway, I know the Lord was dealing with him because he didn't believe in that preacher thing before he became a preacher. And then, like I say, we always had something to talk about, spiritually speaking. And I knew the Lord was dealing with him to come and stand with Sam. Mm-hmm. Come and just stand with him because he knew I was right.
Mm-hmm.
And then he had that accident, and I went up to the hospital to see him, and I asked him, where did this happen? Oh, he had this excuse. And I tell you why it happened. The Lord was dealing with you to come to stand with the truth for your day, and you refuse. Now, the Lord's giving you another chance. This is just a kind of a wake-up call. You know, but he didn't believe a word I'm saying. And then, now, what happens now, he sold out to materialism, and now he's got that whole place under his, right in his hands. Now he's the preacher there, the only preacher there. And then his son, he's made him boss now. It's all in the family structure, but that's all he has. He's got nothing for eternity. And when I talk to any of his family structure, kind of like that Christopher Fairholm here, I can't get near that guy. I can't do none of it. His sister's there. There's one sister here in Allen River. And when you talk to them, they're like something that's worthy to mock, you know, and make fun of. And they can't take me serious. And but see, that whole family structure, we can't even talk to them. It's like there's a curse on them instead of a blessing. And then there's the other side of it, that, you know, that lady over at Baker, that Margaret.
Mm-hmm.
And we run into them down the Canadian Tire there one day. And she was glad to see us. She was glad to talk to us. She warmed up, you know. And I went and told her, I said, there's something about your family structure. There's a blessing on you. There's something anointing on you. And I said, what caused that somebody in your family found favor in the eyes of God? And she said, my grandfather, when we used to go visit him, he would get down before he went to bed. He would get down on his knees with us, and he would tell us about Jesus, you know, and he would pray with us before he went to bed. See, that all that took was that her grandfather loving the Lord and telling people about Jesus, and then to this day it affects him because I'll show mercy thousands and thousands of generations down the road.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it says in the Ten Commandments.
Yeah.
And here you got it right in front of your eyes, right in your face, and people don't even notice that they're bringing judgment, not only on themselves, on their whole family structure, everybody that's under their watch, like that we talked the other day about that Ethiopian, you know, he went back to Ethiopia, and he told everybody that how that Christianity got into Ethiopia, and then that jailer, the same thing, and Peter told him, if you believe, you and your whole household will be saved. That's the way it works. And then now, like I say, there's a flip side to that. If you don't believe the message for your day, you and your whole household will be damned. Mm-hmm. Your children, your grandchildren, right down to, just like back in the days of Achan. Back when he took him out, he was found to be a cripple and a crook back in the days of Jericho. And they took him out, they stoned him, his whole family structure, even his cattle and even his animals got killed and stoned.
And you
that's
can,
the way it is.
That's right. And you can look at the story of Saul and David, how when God was trying to see if Saul will be found faithful, and Samuel told him to wait until I come. But he just could not wait. Mm-hmm. See, God was trying to see the obedience of his heart. And he couldn't be found faithful. So, and then he took the kingdom away from him and gave it to David. Because David was found faithful with what God had given him. And because of that, he established a kingdom for his for his, the whole line of Judah there. Mm-hmm. And you can, and it's still talked about today that the kingship of David is still remembered to this day and will be till throughout the millennium, because that's the throne that is going to be reserved for the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Because that is that family line down from the tribe of David, where David comes out of the tribe of Judah.
Mm-hmm.
And you see these stories in the Bible. There's people that have done something that have granted a blessing from God. And the flip side is always, if people do not, like we've mentioned these people here today, that if they do not meet the requirements, then there is a curse on people and their family structure.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a nice thing to say, but you have to face reality. These things are real.
And they've been written so that we don't go and do the same thing. See? Mm-hmm. If we don't talk about it, people are ignorant of all these things. They don't take it serious. And they just go down the road alive like nonchalant. But see, we're sending out these warnings. This is what happens. When you reject the truth for your day, there's no more help for you. You can go back in history. If Noah would have rejected the truth for his day, him and his whole family would have been gone down in that flood like everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
But see, he believed God, and he went and built an ark. He believed the message for his day. Right through history, I went through biblical history. The reason we're talking about what we're talking about, because we dig it out from history. If you search for me as you search for hidden treasure, you're going to find it. Seek and you shall find. You got to seek these things. And mm-hmm. we saw them. We looked into history. And we were brought to the ministry of Brother Branham. We were brought to the ministry of Brother Jack. We see these things. And we got, and like we were taught, because we were willing to be taught. And that's why we can say the things we're saying. Mm-hmm. There's a flip side to the blessing and the flip side to the cursing. And it's just right here, right in our face.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like to talk about these things. Oh, you're judging. No, I'm just being factual. I'm just saying the way it is, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that easy to stand up for truth. It's not that easy to make it into the shores of glory.
Mm-hmm.
God, there's a lot of sacrifices. There's a lot of things you have to pay for. A lot of things that you have to go through to get to that glorious
mm-hmm.
rapture. We're still not there yet. We still don't know what's up the road for us. We got another mile to go, another curve on the life's road.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not there yet. And we just hope that you try to be.
Mm-hmm.
And even with everything that we've come through already, we still don't have a guarantee. We still just got to keep traveling on, you know, got to keep fighting. And it's not going to come automatic.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're trying to say. But today, it's a blessing. And the other side of the flip is the cursing.
Mm-hmm.
I know the people, and my next again, but it's sad to say, they just cannot make that sacrifice, and then it affects that whole family structure.
Mm-hmm.
And I was kind of sad. I was shocked when he sent these books back, because I knew what the consequences will be when you reject the truth for your day. And it's not that we chose this journey.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that we... It's the way the Lord dealt with us in life. Before the foundation of the world, He honed us out to do this very thing that we're doing here now.
Mm-hmm.
If you reject that, then I'm afraid there's not much hope for you.
Mm-hmm.
And every generation is responsible. Every generation, like, it says, if you believe, you and your whole household will be saved. I got to do what the Lord requires of me, so that for my children, will have an expected end. But now my children, they have to do their part so that their children have an expected end. You see, it just keeps going, you know. And then it works the other way too, you know. If you don't believe, then your whole household will be damned.
And you know, every generation will be confronted with what they did with the truth for their day and hour. See, that's why when you will look at the Hutterites, how they will always claim the forefathers. See, the forefathers were faithful to their day and hour, to the truth that was presented for their day and hour.
Mm-hmm.
So you cannot go on the merits of what they did.
Mm-hmm.
That is deception. You are going to be confronted. The God of heaven is going to confront you with what did you do with the truth for your day and hour. And in this day and hour, the confrontation will be what they did with this message here.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Because we're just continuing to speak what Brother Brenham and Brother Jackson brought.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the message for the day and hour. So we're just continuing to speak what we have seen and heard, just like the apostle here. We cannot stay silent for what God has allowed us to see and hear. And that's the same with us. We cannot be negligent and not tell people the truth that the God of heaven has revealed for this day and hour. And that's what people are going, God is going to confront people with,
mm-hmm.
what they did with that. And that's why it's so detrimental when these people send a book back or they mock and they laugh, because it's not gonna go good for them and their family line.
And what I want to say is that the guy John from Sommerfeld, he rejected the truth, and it looks like there's no hope for his downline.
Mm-hmm.
But now there's still hope for his sons and his
mm-hmm.
grandsons. They can still, but they're going to have to break away from that family structure. It's going to be hard for them. But
mm-hmm.
there's still hope for them.
Oh,
but
yeah.
It's going to have a tough time. It's going to have a big price to pay. That's what I'm trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
Because their salvation is for everybody. But like I say, they are going to have a hard time. They'll have to break away from that family structure and completely stand alone. That find their way. God will give them away if he sees them serious. Even like that Sean Towers, regardless of what his mom did, regardless of what his dad did, regardless of everything else, the Lord moved in us to talk to him. And we did talk to him 3 times in a row. We run into him, and finally I said, well, I've run into you 3 times in a row now. I got to talk to you. I said, you're responsible for your family. It doesn't matter what other people do. You are responsible for you. Your two girls and your wife. That's it. It doesn't matter what Elias teaches or what he doesn't teach. You're not responsible for what he teaches. You're responsible for your thing. And he knew exactly what I'm talking about. And then the next day, he drives out back there beside the house. I was working on my truck. And pure mockery, you know. Just made a mockery of everything we say and do.
Mm-hmm.
And I know there's no more hope for him, because if he mocks the very thing, I told him the truth. If he mucks everything that the truth for his day, then there's nowhere he can go.
Mm-hmm.
And then he gets his job up in the north, and his wife gets a job down here, and it's a sad state of affairs.
Mm-hmm.
Because he rejected what we tried to tell him. And we could all go on, I could go on and on from experience I've had with people that rejected the truth for your day. And they just didn't want to give up this. Then they die, like these two Heartland boys, that Denny and that Dave. I talked to them about salvation, about the message for a day, and everything they did, they mocked it, they could not give up, and then not shortly thereafter they die, then they go to hell. Out to hell and death.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where they went to, but they're sure not around anymore. They died. And you can't get near their children with salvation or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a sad state of affairs. But like I say, there's a flip side to that.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, God doesn't stop there. Like the grace of God still reaches out to individuals, but it just makes it harder for them to move on, because they mm-hmm. have to say goodbye to a lot of the things that they're familiar with.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to, I like to run into these boys, but I can't. I can't talk to them.
Mm-hmm.
I said, because of the decision. It would have been, let's say his dad, that old John, would have warmed up the truth. You know, and he'd have made a sacrifice, walk away from all that. We'd have had a hallelujah time, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But this way, we can't talk to him. We couldn't talk to his sons. We can't talk to his grandkids. It's all under that curse. If you will not believe, you will be damned. I know it's a tough subject.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like to talk about it. But if I don't talk about it, who will? Everybody, they take everything for granted. And they assume if they live in a commune, they're going to heaven. And it's just the way it is. I didn't write the Bible. I'm just trying my very best to stay faithful to what God has called us to do. And but that's the subject today. There's a cursing, there's a flip side to that blessing, and the other side is curses, and the other side is hell and death. Instead of having an eternal joy with the Lord and with the angels and everything that's good and decent, and the other side, out to hell and death. Heavenly Father, I give you thanks for this and another opportunity, Lord, to come and sit with you in heavenly place and talk about your word and the things that's going on around us, Lord. I just pray you'll help us to be faithful to what you've called us to be, Lord. Do with us as you see fit. Yes, Lord, that you give that increase in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.